Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher. This is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity, not just about being more efficient and effective, but about doing work with meaning and purpose. One of the things that we use to be more effective and efficient in doing our work with meaning and purpose is our tools. And one tool has been particularly decided is either a huge asset to productivity or the devil itself. And I'm talking about the Apple Watch. Two people that I know, that I look up to as productivity experts, have weighed in on different sides of that fence, and I thought it might be fun to bring them back on this show in this episode 100 to talk about it. They've both been on the show before, and in fact have both been in the tools episode that I had back in episode 50. I thought it would be great to have them come back for episode 100 and talk about this. Craig Jarrow, Time Management Ninja, and Mike Vardy, Productivityist, weigh in on the Apple Watch. But first, before we talk about the Apple Watch, let me talk about Doodle and tell you I am very thankful to Doodle, not just for keeping my head sane when it comes to scheduling online meetings with one or more people, but also for sponsoring this episode of Beyond the To-Do List, and in fact, this series of sponsorships and supporting of this podcast. What is Doodle? Doodle is the best way that I have found, and 24 million other people have found, to schedule online meetings with one or more people. It's really easy to do. All you got to do is sign up at beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Create some meeting times that work for the meeting that you're wanting to have. Send that invite to those people and they can check what of those times work for them. The great thing is that this then is done right there for you where everybody can check what works instead of having to ping pong back and forth across email and other communication methods to figure out what works for everyone. It's a huge time saver. It's a headache saver. Doodle even has personal branded pages for scheduling meetings with people called Meet Me. And they also have Premium Doodle, which is $39 a year, which gives you extra features like calendar integration and notifications and a lot more. Go ahead, take the pain out of your meetings. Go to beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Get started with Doodle. And get started scheduling meetings without that pain. Hey, this week I get to talk with two of my favorite productivity experts, Mike Vardy and Craig Jarrow. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be
here. Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm looking forward to this debate.
Yes. So the debate here is the Apple Watch. Is it good or bad for productivity? Let's start with the fact that did either of you have any experience with wearables at all prior to any of the announcements?
This is Craig. I did have a little bit of experience with wearables. I backed the original Pebble watch on Kickstarter, and I wore that for probably a good 9 months. As well, I tried the Jawbone Up, the original one that had to be recalled. So not a great experience with that fitness device. But yes, I've played with a few of the wearables out there. What about you, Mike?
I have not played with any of them. I didn't back the Pebble. I didn't, you know. Obviously I haven't picked up an Apple Watch, so no wearables, not even a Fitbit. You know, I've let my phone kind of do the work, for all that stuff.
Okay. For me, I had used a Fitbit and that was about it. And honestly, I never pulled it out. Actually, I kind of incessantly kept pulling it out and checking to see where I was with my steps. So that was also a distraction. So there you go. What about when they first announced it, the rumor mill coming up to it, and when they announced it? Because I know that, Mike, even though you're on the con side of this argument, you were about to purchase one.
I was. I was all lined up and ready. I actually have two still favorited in that little mobile, the iOS store. They're still there. No, I was ready. I mean, I bought the original iPhone when I couldn't get it in Canada. So I actually got it off of eBay. because when, if you'll recall, when the original iPhone came out, you couldn't get it in Canada. It was US only. So I actually had to get it unlocked, bring it to Canada, do all that stuff. And I was one of the first, at least in my city, to have an iPhone. And then the same thing with the iPad. So, I mean, I had the first iPad and I got the 3G, like the initial, like not just Wi-Fi, but I went full guns for that too. So I have a history of buying the first iterations of Apple products. And I was excited about the watch because I initially said, you know, hey, this is going to be something that I feel that I can use. And when it was announced, I didn't really dive in too deep. I just, hey, it's Apple's new platform. It's new medium. I'm probably going to jump in, but ultimately I didn't.
What about you, Craig?
What's the question? Was I ready to get it right at launch?
Yeah. What was your, when they first announced it, like everybody's saying, hey, they're going to announce it. They're going to announce it. And then they did, along with all the U2 stuff. But yeah. what was your initial impression of the watch?
My initial impression was probably similar to Mike's in that, you know, I'm obviously a big Apple fan as well, and I have many of their products, and I've gotten them in the first generation as well. Very excited for it. I really do think that wearables is where we're headed, not maybe what we're seeing today and some of the things we've seen in the past with some of the bulky fitness trackers or Google Glass or anything silly like that. But I was excited about it, and I was excited in terms of the usability, which I know we're going to get into in a minute. I will say this about the launch, though. I thought it was very interesting. As much as it was big and splashy, and they showed a few things, if you remember back at the keynote when Tim Cook originally just, you know, showed it off, they really didn't do a full demo of it.
No.
And there was a lot of questions unanswered coming out of that. It was like, ooh, Apple Watch, but they didn't really show a lot of it, and they didn't even tell a lot of it. In fact, it wasn't until some of the after stories and some of the reporters got in there and touched it and stuff that you found out, like, for example, in the original keynote, it wasn't even revealed in the keynote that you could take a phone call on the watch. Mm-mm. Seems like kind of a big omission. So, again, I appreciate all the splash and the potential of it, but I think that's really all they were teasing was the potential. And I think a lot of that potential is still to come in terms of what this can evolve to be.
Yeah, that was my official initial reaction. I was actually more excited about the U2 stuff, actually, because I'm a long, diehard U2 fan. But
well, good, because you got the album whether you wanted it or not.
I know. Well, which was Apple's fault, not theirs. So, hey, Tim Cook screwed his crew.
He's a bigger U2 fan.
Yeah, there you go. He's an even bigger U2 fan. The thing for me was I remember watching through that announcement and thinking, okay, so it tells time. I wear it on my wrist. I can send a message, like an iMessage. I can do, like, you're right. It really wasn't clear. Like, the selling point of what the benefits were, and I think that was still even the banner that was carried forward, even after mm-hmm. people started receiving the watch when it was being sold, was what's this thing for still? Like, we still don't know what it's for. The people,
yeah.
News media in general,
I think
already sold on it.
Let me clarify something. I just realized that I actually did put a wearable through the paces, a Samsung Gear for the next web. I think I did it. So I forgot about that. That's how invested I was in wearables, and it was a bad experience because the Galaxy Note that I had and the Gear, the phone and the watch had to be within such close proximity for it to actually do what it needed to do. So that may have also shaped my, you know, when I saw what the Apple Watch was doing, I'm like, okay, how close is this going to need to be to the phone? Because I remember having the phone in my backpack and the watch on my wrist, and the watch, like, sorry, I cannot connect to phone. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. It's right behind you. Like, so, yeah. So there was that. But I mean, because I knew that Apple's quality control and what they deliver, in my estimation, and I mean, we're all Apple fans here. Let's not pretend anything different.
Yeah.
I figured, you know what? They're going to make it better. So that's why I was kind of curious. But yeah, I mean, I think the messaging that they put out there from, even like you said, even until now, was very much like, here's this thing. It's pretty awesome. It could do a bunch of stuff. You can figure out what you're going to use it for based on the stuff that it does now. And then kind of like the initial iPad, where I looked at it and I'm like, there's a little pinhole in the top where a camera could have gone, but they didn't put one. You know, there's other stuff in here that we either haven't unlocked yet or haven't figured out, you know, what the applications could be. Like, apparently I read an article the other day that said that the Apple Watch might be waterproof. Like, I'm not going to test that. I don't think anybody should. But, I mean, there are probably some things that the Apple Watch can do that either aren't revealed yet or aren't realized yet.
Yeah, and that's a great example, Mike, the waterproof issue. And I'm wearing an Apple Watch right now, I can appreciate that fact. And, for Apple not even to comment on that, and I guess, they've got a single line on their website about the water whatever. But, I mean, how do you release a product and not say what the specification is on water? Can I take it in the shower? Can I take it in the pool?
I think it's a liability thing for sure. Like, if it breaks, or like, you know, especially with Apple Care, like, I don't know very many watches that have. I mean, again, they've put Apple Care in there. Most watches are not going to require that, right? And I don't think. I mean, if anyone buys the Apple Watch Edition, you know, hello Kanye West. You know, although he probably got it gifted to him. But anyway, I don't think anybody's going to go and say, okay, I think people are going to be more careful with this thing because of the Apple logo on it too.
Well, I bring that up though, because I think it's going to come up later in this conversation, because there's many other things that still, and I'm wearing a watch right now, that are still not revealed by Apple, as you said. And there's still many specifications and many things that they really haven't talked about this device. You know, another example, not to take us too far off track here, is, you know, the port. There is a port. If you remove the band, there is a port on this watch that isn't talked about anywhere, isn't talked about really on their website. You know, developers are starting to discover it. But again, it's just weird that you're releasing a device and not even talking about the specifications.
I think that a really good statement to make here would be, this is version one. Just like there was the iPad 1 and there was the iPhone 1. And we remember where those went later on. We remember how much more advanced hardware and software wise they got from this point forward.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny. I think the reason they're not saying that it's water resistant extreme, because it's not waterproof, but it's like water resistant to the extreme, is because they don't want to tout that and have people test it, especially after Bendgate, because then you'd have another literal water gate. So yeah.
Nice one. Let me jump in, because I wrote a blog post about this, and I kind of used that line that, you know, this is the 1.0, just like the original iPhone was the first iteration. And it's ironic, because somebody put a picture on the internet of the original iPhone next to the Apple Watch, and they ironically look a little bit similar
with the rounded corners and the silver,
it looks very similar. And it's exactly like that. I mean, I remember the wonder when we first got that original iPhone, and, you know, you could open, you remember there were no apps, there were no app stores, just the onboard apps. There was a single page. You didn't even have, multiple pages of anything, but, you know, you could do things like open up that Maps app, and you were just like amazed that it could find your location on a map and do all this neat stuff. But yet there was no potential there yet. You know, you couldn't do anything magical or have any of those third party apps or anything. So I think that's what Apple is kind of doing, is they built this wearable, they built this new platform, and yes, they're just as they did the iPad, to your point, Mike, you know, they're going to let the developers kind of spell out over time what the use cases are that really work.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and make a comment on that as well, which is, I don't think many people have figured it out yet. My opinion on this is, and if you look at the App Store right now, and Apple touted, you know, there's 2,000 or 3,000 apps that were Apple Watch ready at launch. They don't get it. They really don't get it. You know, putting an iPhone app on the Apple Watch makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It is not a phone. It is a watch, and it's good at certain things, you know, glances and small bits of information. But my personal opinion is it's good for single purpose apps. It's good for single either pieces of information or single actions. For example, I'll give you one that I think actually is well done. Uber. You know, you've got your Uber app, which is pretty simple app anyway, to call a car for you on the Apple Watch. And you notice how many times I've almost said iWatch. On the Apple Watch, you open up the Uber app, and all you get is a single button to call a car. Boom. That's a single purpose app that works really nicely on the watch.
Yeah. Let's not jump right into yet. Let's do one other quick kind of clarification. I want to point to the fact that this doesn't work by itself as much as it does work as a satellite to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't connect right now. It doesn't connect to a MacBook, and it doesn't, as far as I know, unless I'm wrong, Craig, connect to iPads. It's just
it is, you know, no, you're right, and that's a good thing to spell out. It is a satellite. I like that idea. It's a satellite to your phone, which actually I think is one of its best use cases. It's a satellite to your phone. It has to be connected to an iPhone. It doesn't work or hasn't been jimmied to work with any other devices yet.
It's Bluetooth 4.0, so the range is about 30 feet from the phone.
Well,
give or take.
Yes, but, and I hope I'm not going to stick my foot in my mouth with this one and somebody prove me wrong on this, but if you look on Apple's website, it is Wi-Fi as well.
Oh.
And here's a very interesting use case. When I'm at home, this will jump on the Wi-Fi and you can be separated from your phone. And again, I hope I'm not misspeaking on this one.
Well, here's the thing. Yesterday, I was hanging out with Cliff Ravenscraft, and he was wearing Apple Watch, and his phone was downstairs in his office. He was upstairs, and you know, we're talking. I don't know what the distance was, but he was in the bathroom, or not the bathroom. That would be weird. One of the best use cases for the Apple Watch is to answer phones in the bathroom.
Right.
He was in the kitchen and his wife called and he literally taps his wrist and he's talking to her and then he's done and taps it again. He didn't have to have his phone in the pocket, didn't have to pull his phone out of his pocket.
You're bringing up some good points, because I think that one of the things that users want to see, and I think this is probably one of the reasons why I didn't necessarily pick one up, is because you need to have such that close proximity to the phone at present. You know what I mean? If I'm going to want to be fully present in a moment, right, then like let's say I want to go play at the park with my kids. And I want to be fully focused on that. I have two options. One, I bring my phone and I put it in airplane mode, right? Or two, or I limit my notifications or put do not disturb on or something like that. Or two, ideally, if this was the case, I have an Apple Watch and I bring that and I only get the notifications that I have set up on my Apple Watch and I don't have to bring my phone with me, which means I have some constraints there. But right now, if I was going to do that, I'd have to bring both, right? So that's
or leave both at home.
Or leave both at home, right? Right. So I mean,
this is where I'm going with this. Is mm-hmm. Let's not pretend we've not already dealt with an obtrusive, interruptive device that has become very much ubiquitous.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean the thing that, and I guess we can dive into this a little bit. I mean, one of the things that, Craig, you can speak to this because you have the device. I would love it. I mean, if Apple, when you set up your watch, and you can kind of give me a clue, all of us a clue if this is what happens, is if it gives you the option to choose your notifications almost immediately, or if it does what all of the devices do and turns them on all on by default so that you can, quote, get the most out of the device, end quote. I think the watch would drive me nuts because there's so many notification possibilities there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like does it say all right, welcome to Apple Watch, blah blah blah. Hey, here are the notifications you have set up on your phone based on the apps that you have installed, you know, the native apps that are here. Which ones do you want to get on the watch? And then when you install an app, obviously it says, you know, you get that anyways on the phone. Turn push notifications on or off. You can make that mm-hmm. decision there. But I don't think it does that, does it? It everything's on by default and you're going to get bombarded as things happen.
This is definitely an area of opportunity. The Apple Watch app itself that resides on your iPhone is very much 1.0. In fact, I'm a little bit, I'll say it, disappointed with the initial version. There's a single screen where you can scroll through all of the apps and you have to click into each individual app to decide whether you want to push it to your phone. So a little bit tedious there to control those when you should be able to see them all from that list. I'm sure Apple will resolve that.
So there's no syncing it? You can't sync it to, like, your MacBook or anything like you do your phone and select which apps you want or anything like
it's
that?
It's all controlled from your iPhone. So there's an app on your iPhone. You control it from there. You can do everything from installing apps, changing the notifications like Mike was referring to, and then as well, you know, you can even on the – it's a pretty slick little interface. If you've seen the screen that has all the apps on it, all the little bubbles floating around, you can actually rearrange those on your iPhone, and they rearrange on the watch.
that's really no different than what happened with the Samsung and the Galaxy, like the Galaxy, right. The Galaxy Gear. Like, you had to control things from the phone. There were certain things that you could do. Again, everything was controlled. Like you said, it was a satellite device. And that's kind of, I think that's one of the things that kind of, if you have the phone, like if you had an, and that's the thing is, I guess if you had an iPad, you could also have the Apple Watch hooked up to iPad. It doesn't have to be the iPhone, right?
Yeah, if that's, well, no, not now, but obviously that's going to be a future thing.
It's an iOS app, right? Or does it have to go on the...
That app is only installed on your phone when you upgrade to a certain, like, 8.3 or so.
I remember it showing up directly on my phone, so that's
interesting. I believe they've limited it for now, Mike, to just the phone, but you're right. Eventually these devices will connect to other devices. Here's my take on that. First of all, there is a settings... menu on the watch itself, and you can control some very basic settings, really, really just the watch itself. Any, like you just said, setup, apps, any of that other stuff is all done on the watch. On the phone. And I guess that's kind of by design in terms of if I'm changing I'm tweaking something that controls the watch itself, I may do that on the watch. You know, it's a small screen. But if I'm doing setup or app installation or going to the app store, that's all done on the larger screen on your iPhone.
Right. And it's a no. I mean, I guess ultimately what we have to concede to, at least at this point, is that the Apple Watch is a notification device, largely. You know, it tells you, hey, something's going on. You can respond to it whichever way you want. Or, hey, I forgot to do something. Let's say, like, I was having a conversation with Kyle Baxter. He's the developer of Bezel and stuff like that on Twitter. And he was saying that things on watch, the workflow is interesting because all it does is it encourages you on the watch. It basically says, assemble your agenda for the day and consult just that list. So it's very limited, but you could take a look at it and handle things right from there. So right. The constraints are, and we know that constraints are helpful when it comes to productivity. But the problem in my mind is, do you need to have technology give you those constraints, or can you just have the willpower of saying, okay, you know what? I'll pull out my phone when needed and I won't pull it out when it's not needed. And I think that to me was a big factor in my decision.
And that's a different skill or I would say muscle at varying different strengths for depending upon who you are.
Well, let me talk to that a little bit because I've been wearing the watch for a short period now. Let me talk about that kind of concept, but something else I want to get into a little bit later is I'd love to talk through the main uses that I use it for today, actually using it for. But let's talk about that because I think you said it right again that it's a notification device, it's a satellite, you know, it's this secondary screen to your iPhone. I think the biggest thing for me, you know, there's been a lot of concern from people that, hey, I don't want something on my wrist constantly interrupting me. And yes, it can definitely do that, and we can talk about the taptic feedback because I love it, but it's the same thing as if your phone is ringing or buzzing in your pocket, and if your notifications are set on your phone to go off, they're going to go off on your watch. You know, it's the same thing. It's just where do you want the interruption to happen? So I kind of disagree with the fact that it interrupts you more than your phone does, because in some ways I think it's better because it kind of, you know, encourages you to take control of your notifications, which a lot of people don't do. And then in some ways, when there are notifications that I want to reach me. Actually, one of the use cases that was most important for me was getting the messages that I do want to not miss. So, for example, if my wife is messaging me and I have my phone in my pocket or I've left it on a table somewhere, I may not get that notification. But with the watch, it'll tap me and I'll see it real quick.
Can you have custom taps?
You cannot yet, but I love that feature on my phone. I have a special alert for my – yep.
Yeah.
I have a certain buzz that means it's from my wife. And so, yes, even when it's in my pocket, I love the fact that I can tell that it's come from a different person. Absolutely. Well, that needs to come for the watch.
I feel like I remember them saying that the whole taptic feedback thing where you could – somebody else's watch, they could tap it like 1, 2, 3 and – you would know who it was, you know, based on their tapping, not.
But that's yeah, I think I read something about that too. But
I think it was David Sparks who said his family has like a secret.
Yeah, he had a tap
or something.
He wrote that before he had the watch. I'm not sure you can actually do what he's talking. It's a great idea though. I mean, like for example, you know, his example was that he's at a party and he wants to go and he wants to be able to silently alert his spouse. But you know, for example. you know, if I'm out at Costco, one of Mike's favorite places, I'm out at Costco and I'm trying to find my wife and we can't find each other, it would be nice to be able to, instead of ringing her phone, which she's not going to hear in her purse, be able to tap her on the wrist on an Apple Watch or something like that. I don't think it works that way, and I guess if we want to go into it, the whole emoji and the heartbeat functionality and this whole drawing on the screen.
Those are neat little
– they're like, neat little
– look what the technology can do. I don't know what use case it has, but look what it can do.
Yeah, very much demo-esque, but not real useful. I really haven't used that stuff at all. Really haven't. That's actually been some of the stuff I haven't touched at all.
What's the stem like? You know, the dial? Because I know that depending on your fit, like some people have said that, you know, the if you have small fingers, it's a lot easier to deal with. If you have bigger, stubbier fingers, it's like a bit more challenging. Have you found that?
I have not found that. Now, I have what I would say is medium to smaller hands and wrist. No, I think the digital crown is very easy to use. It actually works great for what it's intended to be, you know, scrolling and things like that.
It's like old school iPod.
It is. A little bit. The controls definitely are going to confuse people out of the gate. And I read some hilarious reviews online, especially Jefferson Graham at USA Today, who had a lot of trouble with the controls. But yes, there's a side button and there's the digital crown and you can tap on the face. So it's a little bit more complex than your iPhone that just has a single home button. And of course that digital crown both presses and can be turned. So there, it's a little bit different. It's not an iPhone. It's an Apple Watch and it can do some different things. So some of that's a little bit hidden. For example, the button that's on the side, if you double tap that, it brings up Apple Pay. If you didn't know that, it might be hard to understand. Another one, which I think a friend showed me and is a great one to know, is if you double tap the crown, it brings up the last app you were in, which is something that people are looking for a lot because by default, when you raise your wrist, it brings up the watch. So if you want to get back to that last app, you just double tap the crown and you're there. So, you know, some of those controls are definitely going to confuse people a little bit out of the gate if you're not used to it. You know, just like, you know, if you handed somebody an iPhone today and they didn't know that you double press the home button to switch apps and things like that, or hold the home button to bring up Siri.
I think the real sticking point here, as far as productivity goes, let's go right to this main issue, I think it is, which is a lot of people are saying, why do I want to have something on my wrist that also alerts me to other people's intentions for me or accidental, you know, butt dials, all that kind of stuff. And the thing I want to point out is that, Craig, you'd say it keeps me from looking at my phone. Somebody else would say it doesn't keep me from looking at my phone because I still have to use my phone or keep my phone on me. And Mike, you have a whole other different take on that. Let's go through that spectrum real quick.
Let me start and just say, no, yes, of course you have to have your phone with you because it is tethered to your phone. You can separate them, but you lose a lot of the functionality. But again, for me, an interruption is an interruption. If your phone is ringing, shut off the ringer. If the notifications are buzzing, turn off the notifications. But I agree there can be a perceived greater interruption of something tapping you on your wrist versus your phone buzzing in your pocket. But my experience has been a little bit different. I mean, when phones go off in a conference room, everybody hears it. If it's on silent, it's ringing, you know, it's buzzing or it's vibrating on the table. With the watch, it's very subtle. You get this small tap on your wrist. I'm sometimes able to glance down at my wrist and just let it go. You know, oh, no, not interested. Keep going. I had my watch, you know, notify me of things that I wanted to be notified about, but other people in the room were unaware. It doesn't light up like a Christmas tree. It doesn't buzz or make noise unless you have the sound on, you know, intentionally. So again, it's all user preference. If, you know, just like the guy who never shuts off his phone in a conference, if you set your watch to buzz and to ring, it's going to buzz and ring.
Right. I mean, again, I think a lot of this is behavioral. And what my concern is with the Apple Watch is just another thing that you have to behaviorally modify. And it's I'm not saying it's a Band-Aid over another problem. You know what I mean? Because I don't think that's accurate. Because I think a lot of people, you know, yourself, David Sparks, I mean, I think that you're going to mitigate those things up front. You're going to say, okay, what do I – you're going to be thoughtful about when you set it up. A lot of people just are going to open it up, throw it on their wrist and do that. And like, I want to see what it can do. And then they never get to the point where they say, okay, hold on a second. What do I really need to get notification-wise? Because you're right. As soon as you – because you know what? I would imagine that with the watch, as soon as you do it with the watch, you're going to do it with the phone. So you're going to start to think about it critically across not just the watch platform, but all of your platforms. So – But and I think that that's something that you have to foster. I think you have to say, okay, and this is one of the reasons why, and Eric, to Eric's point, why I'm not getting it is I haven't worn a watch in a long time. Reason is, well, first off, the phone tells me what time it is. If I need to know, I'll pull out my phone and see what time it is. Secondly, I would find for me that by wearing an Apple Watch, it would make me less present in the moment than not than not having it because like I know if I wanted to go, like let's say I'm going to go for my reading workflow, if I really wanted to say in the morning I want to read for a half hour, I just go to my watch and hey Siri, which is I think another thing that's really weird for the Apple Watch. I've heard that you have to say like hey Siri before every single instruction, but I could say, you know, touch the phone and say, all right, I want a timer set for 30 minutes. And it'll do that because it has the watch built in. I think what would happen is I would start to be more, I wouldn't say conscious about time, but I would be more, I would emphasize time a bit more with the watch. And when it becomes more independent from the phone and I could say, hey, you know what? I don't want to bring my phone with me because I don't need to look at Twitter or Facebook or whatever like that. I don't want to have that with me. I'm just going to bring the watch. I think that might be the time where I say, okay, it might be worthwhile. But for me, I don't, I mean, I can, it's odd because of my, the way I work, I can kind of gauge what time it is just by what I've done throughout the day or what has happened throughout the day, as opposed to, hey, what time does it say? Oh my God, I need to go do this. Or when I look at my watch and I say, oh, there's 15 notifications here, or there's, or I feel it every few minutes. So I think it would become, that's my biggest concern with it for me. I think it has the potential to be more to increase productivity, especially if the apps are designed in a way that says get in, get out. You know, hey, I want to check my watch. Here's a thing I have to do. Like Trello. Trello doesn't work on the phone yet, right? I can't see it. How would it? You know what I mean? Like,
are you saying on the watch?
Yeah, on the watch. Is there a Trello? Is there one?
Yeah, there is a Trello app.
How does it work? Because I mean, it's the nature of it. Most people want more screen real estate for the Kanban right. style. You know, how does it work there? Like,
I'm embarrassed to say I have not played with the Trello app on the watch. But see, there's an example of where I'm not sure it necessarily fits on the watch. Now, right. Again, I'm gonna apologize to Trello in advance because I haven't tried it. But I'll give you the opposite example: Wunderlist. Love Wunderlist on the watch. In fact, I just used it this morning. I was at the grocery store and I just lift my watch up and I can check as I go down my grocery list right on my watch. Okay, is that absolutely necessary? No, but it is more convenient than, you know, pulling out my iPhone 16 times while I'm in the store and putting it back in my pocket.
Right, and I think it's odd, you know, I mean, when we talk about wearables, remember what people used to wear when they got their mobile phones at first? Remember the belt holsters?
Yes.
That you could slide them in? That was a wearable. Right. Like you put it on your, it was there. And I mean, if it's in your pocket, as far as I'm concerned, it's, you're wearing it. Like, I mean, right. you're, you know, so, and the other thing that I find fascinating, and Brett Kelly, a friend of all of ours, he tweeted like almost upon release of the iWatch or the Apple Watch. See, yeah, he called the iWatch. He said, I wonder how long it's going to be before it's illegal to check your watch while you're driving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that was one of the things that, I had a kind of time with Cliff where I grilled him. I was like, okay, what about this? Okay, what about this? And he said one of the things that, you know, to be able to have your hands and, you know, be able to glance at your wrist and see who it is and ignore it while your hands are on at 2 and 10 or
right.
The other way, which is like, what, say 8 and 4 or something? I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
I think you get to work earlier if you do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
9 and 5 was that, you know, instead of having to find the phone, tap the phone into speaker mode and all that kind of stuff, if it's a call you really do need to take, you literally tap your wrist and then you're still just looking straight ahead and you're driving and you're talking. And again, Apple's not going to advocate, hey, do this, because that's going to get them in a lot of trouble.
No, yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
I'm not in favor of any distractions in the car, but yes, I would agree with Cliff there. It is definitely less distracting to glance at your watch as opposed to, you know, pulling out your phone, which nobody should be doing in a car.
Well, this is where the custom ringtone kind of haptic feedback would be ideal, because frankly, if it just taps once, you'll be trained mentally to go, okay, I don't need to look at that. But if it's Taptic from like your boss or your wife, you go, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I should take a quick look.
Well, here's a use case, and it actually involves what you were just talking about with the Taptic feedback and different notifications. I totally forgot about this until you mentioned that. And actually, I love this use case, and I've used it not intentionally but accidentally. When you get driving directions via Apple Maps on your phone, it automatically brings it over to the Apple Watch, and when you're driving, it gives you notifications on the watch. That's kind of cool, and it actually gives you different taps based on what is coming up. If you're turning right, it gives you a series of solid taps. If you're turning left, it gives you, I think, three long taps or something like that. But
wouldn't it just tell you, though? Can't the watch just say, does it say turn right here?
I believe the phone still does tell you, but it is pretty neat to have it tapping. I mean, if you've ever been driving down the highway with a GPS on and still missed a turn, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. It actually taps you, and you're like, oh, I got a turn here.
Yeah, I think pretty neat defines the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Like, I mean, it's not going to be if you didn't have a phone, if it didn't require the phone, and then it'd be like, okay, and you have an iPad, let's say, or an iPad mini, then the iPhone Plus, let's say, and you're like, okay, I don't want to carry this behemoth around with me wherever I go. I just want to have it for certain situations. That's one thing. But I think at this point, like we've said, it's like that 1.0 I don't know. I can't wait to see what they like. I'm Todoist. I know that they've built a watch app, and I'd love to get a chance to play with it and see how, from task management perspective, how much it could do. But I don't see it as it's none of these have ever really been necessary. A smartphone has almost become necessary for a lot of people in the world. But the watch is, like you said, Aaron, it's a nice satellite. It's the hey, it's convenient for me to look at my watch and see this thing. But it's like anything else. It's that whole, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, whatever you use. I mean, and I was looking at an Inc. article about it, and, you know, I mean, there's every review has like, this is how awesome it is, but it can also, this is some of the drawbacks of it. Like The Verge said that, and, you know, Bloomberg said that, and The Wall Street Journal, and you know, The New York Times, all of them said, these are the great things it can do, but also it can distract you, and you have to really be careful about these certain things. So I think that if you're on the fence, it's a lot of money to throw down.
That's the thing for me is I wasn't even sold originally, and then gradually warmed up to it. Right now, even if budget wasn't an issue at all, if I could just go out and get one without any consequences whatsoever, I would still have to question whether it was better for me to wait for like version 2.0 or 3.0. And I say this from a person who has given a talk where in the midst of that I said, look, I'm wearing a watch right now, and held it up. And it was a regular watch that I had started wearing for a few months at that point. This was like late 2013. And it was because I wanted to stop pulling my phone out of my pocket to check the time and then see the little shiny swipe to unlock as like an enticement or a temptation to then dive in and look at every app and see that nothing really good had happened and it didn't matter.
Well, and I also think a lot of people are going to say, what can I mean, the iPhone, it's a contract, so some people, it's not a lot of outlay of money. A computer you can do so much more with, so you're more apt to say, oh, well, you know, for $500 or whatever you're going to lay down, I'm two-thirds of the way to an iPad or you know, I'm all the way there to an iPad. But a watch, it seems like it has too many has too many constraints for some people. For others, I think that's going to be great. The convenience factor, I think, at this point, is outweighed by, you know, too many questions and a price point that you could say, hey, you know what, for that 4 or 5, 6, 7, whatever, you know, watch bands you get or whatever, you can say, okay, you know what, I could put that money to use elsewhere, you know. And I think that to me is another big reason. My wife was all for me getting a watch. She said, if you want to go get it, you know, it's a write-off. It's a company expense. But I'm like, no, it didn't make sense at the time. Not just in terms of, you know, cost, but philosophically as well, the way I kind of treat time, the way I treat tasks.
Right. Let me jump back in.
Sure.
And I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Mike. In fact, I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago. But no, for some people, it may not be worth the cost at this point. Again, maybe the original iPhone wasn't either. I think that wearables are going to continue to evolve and prices will, you know, maybe come more into different, you know, levels and things like that. But it definitely is kind of an early adopter piece at this point. It is definitely not a cheap device. I want to hone back in on something you said a minute ago around, you know, is it more of a convenience factor right now? And it is. It does a lot of things more conveniently than pulling my phone out, which I will say is a big time saver. You know, Eric, you said a minute ago, you know, you pull your phone out and you see that shiny button and you start getting, you know, that for me is one of the biggest, you know, productivity use cases is keeping you off of your phone. You know, you pull your phone out of your pocket probably 200 times a day. And, you know, many of those times are just to either check the time or check a notification. And, you know, you pull your phone out and you're like, ooh, I have 16 Facebook updates and I have a news update and I have this.
Yeah, but that's notification mitigation, though. I mean, that's a human thing.
It's notification, but Eric's example was the shiny, you know, slide to unlock button.
Yeah, I get it.
You pull your phone out to check the time and next thing you know, you're 16 levels deep in your news feed or something like that. But let me go back to something you said a minute ago around the convenience factor. And, you know, I actually want to paraphrase a couple things that Steve Jobs said way back when with the iPhone and the iPad. And there's two separate ones here. One, if you remember with the iPhone and there's this kind of mythology around the development of it and the secretive team that made it. And supposedly Steve Jobs told them, you know, make a device that people won't leave home without. Right. And I think that we all agree that if you leave home without your phone, you turn around and you go back and you get it. Right. You need that phone.
Yep.
If I leave the house and I forget my watch right now, which I haven't done yet, I'd be disappointed. I'd probably be bummed, but I'm not sure I would turn around and go back and get the watch yet. It's not something I have to have, especially if I do have my phone with me. So I think there's that difference. And I don't know if that holds up as an argument, but let me keep going here, which is, remember when the iPad came out, Steve Jobs presented it. One of the things he said when he was trying to make the case for, you know, is there a case for a device that's between a laptop and a phone? And that's what the iPad is and what a lot of people are still trying to justify. And he said it has to be better at some tasks than a phone and a laptop. And that's kind of where the iPad positions itself, right? In between. Some people would argue it's better at email. It's better at reading books than obviously a phone or a laptop. You know, it's better at certain, you know, tasks that don't require a keyboard or don't require the portability of a phone. So I guess the question for the watch is, what is it better at than your phone is or your computer or whatever else you want to compare it to? And I'm not sure. I'm not, you know, this goes back to the beginning of our conversation. I'm not sure what it's better at. It does convenience. It does Apple Pay even better than the phone does. I just mentioned the Uber app earlier. You know, it does it quicker than pulling out my phone, perhaps easier, maybe one button press. But I think that's the case that will continue to evolve both as the hardware changes and as the software, you know, starts to evolve and figure out what is good on a mobile, you know, on your wrist as opposed to in your pocket.
I think for me, one of the big things to convey here, and I mean, is first off, I mean, I think one of the cool things that it should be able to do at some point, maybe it does, is to control your Apple TV. You know, you're wearing
it. It does.
Yeah, and it does, right? So, I mean, there are certain elements that I definitely can see it being okay. You know, and by the way, I think people would probably be more apt to either – I mean, it's a wearable, so they're going to go and wear it as much as possible. And I think one of the advantages and also drawbacks of it is that, like, say over a Fitbit does one thing. Well, it covers one area of responsibility, which is health stuff, right? Like how many – the watch can cover so much more. So for some people, that's going to be a huge boon. And for others, because of their ease of distractibility – it's going to not work so well for them because the Fitbit, you'll put it on, you say, okay, you know what? This is what this thing is supposed to do. So I'm going to let it do it. Whereas the watch is like, it can do so many different things. I think ultimately, if you're going to get a wearable, know that you're bringing it closer and closer to your body, to your present state. You need to make sure that, okay, you know what? Do I need to get notified when I have 16 Facebook notifications? Do I need to get notified when I get email? Or do I need to just get a notification from, let's say, my task app or a reminders app to say, check email?
Right.
You know, like, do I need, like, mitigate those reminders and those notifications so that you're not getting, because it would drive me nuts to get, like, a Taptic. It's kind of like the Pavlok that Manish Sethi is created. It's like, what he's done with this thing is it's a shock device that is used for productivity that you wear on your wrist, right? So, I mean, there's going to be that's a means to, you know, train behavior alternatively. And I think that what you need to do if you get an Apple Watch or if you get an iPhone or whatever device you get is look at it and before you – when you power it up and you add stuff to it, don't say, you know, I need to get everything. Just say, what do I need to get? What are the essentials? What are the things that you know, do I need to get every notification or every email, or do I need to just get a notification say, hey, check email, and I want it to go off 3 times a day, or I want only emails from my boss and from so-and-so to get through. There are ways to mitigate them, and I think if you do that, if you take control of the device instead of letting the device take control of you, then that's where the productivity can come in. But I don't think a lot of people do that. I know a lot of people don't do that.
That's you and I agree on that topic, and you know, the whole, I talk a lot about, you know, technology being a leash for most people as opposed to a productivity tool. And yes, it is about taking control of it, controlling the notifications, controlling how it comes through, everything else.
Not to mention the fact that the device that we live with every day, our own body and mind, has that as well, where we've got to manage our thoughts and emotions and feelings and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you can do that with reading or our rituals or meditation. So,
yeah, we want to have more missions than questions.
Yes. So, I'm trying to figure out where do we like land on this?
Well, I want to go into one more topic. I want to go through a real quick list, and yeah. I haven't written it down, but I want to go through a real quick listing of what I have been using the watch for. Would I want an email to come through on the watch? No, I wouldn't. Would I like a Slack notification? Yeah, that might be cool, and I get an at message to me via Slack. That's pretty cool. Here's some of the things I've been using it for, in no particular order. I do think that Siri, it really shines on the Apple Watch. Definitely have experienced a little bit of the slowness sometimes with Siri. To answer your question, Mike, you don't have to say, hey, Siri, although you can. But you can press and hold the digital crown just like you press and hold the home button on your iPhone and activate Siri. That's how I activate Siri. And one of my favorite uses for Siri has always been text messages. I'll kind of Dick Tracy-esque. I'll hold my Apple Watch up, press the crown, and say, you know, tell my wife that I'm on my way. And, you know, boop, I can send that text off. Pretty cool. So Siri really shines, in my opinion. Again, a lot of the single-purpose apps have really been shining for me. I do like having a watch. It's a great watch, and I use it for timers. I use it for checking the weather. I use it for a lot of things that I can see right on the watch face without having to go into an app itself. Some of the apps that have shined for me, I mentioned Slack a second ago. Uber, I love the fact that it's a simple app, one button press. I actually did use Passbook the other day. I bought, my son and I went to see the new Avengers movie, and
which was awesome.
And I got my tickets into Passbook on my phone, and then boop, they're right on my watch. And when I went to the movie theater, the attendant just scanned my watch, and we were in. So that's pretty cool. Again, Apple Pay. A quick double click of the button, and your credit cards are right there on your watch, ready to go. Very convenient and very nice for places that accept that, like Home Depot, Walgreens, McDonald's, other places. A lot of airports starting to accept that. What else have I been using it for? I have to go back to that phone thing. Again, would you ever have a phone conversation on your watch? No, you wouldn't. But it is great for answering a call that you don't want to miss in a pinch. You know, I'm putting my kids in the car. I have two kids. I'm loading them in the car, and my wife happens to call me at that exact moment. You know, sure, I could call her back in a few seconds, but, you know, it'll come up on my watch. I can answer it and, you know, talk right into my watch. Hey, what's up? I'm loading the kids in the car, you know, and we can talk real quick there. Again, you wouldn't hold a business call or anything else like that on the watch.
Well, you could if you have Bluetooth headset, right? Like, you could just touch it. And I mean, it's the same thing with the health stuff, right? Like those Beats headphones that we know are kind of – I mean, you could have Bluetooth headphones and you could do workouts and stuff like that with it too. So I could definitely
see that. You can do that. You can do that.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the ring, you know.
I knew you were going to go there.
Because I want the custom Green Lantern ring face. That's what I want.
Yes. Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, the three of us aren't necessarily super into with using the watch for, or even I guess I probably could be, would be the whole health thing. It's got a lot of great stuff there. I know Cliff is using a lot of that.
Yeah, screw health. Who needs it?
I can comment on that. And actually, I have a pro and a con. I'm actually very impressed with the Nike Plus running app. Works great on the Apple Watch. I've used it for probably half a dozen runs since I've gotten the watch, and it's great to be able to control it right from the watch, start my run, stop my run right from the watch. It's just a little bit more convenient than starting it from the phone. It is different than Apple's workout app, which, you know, they demoed in the keynote and has those nice circular displays. I'm actually not a huge fan of that, but I'm not a huge fan of the whole Fitbit count my steps type thing, which is kind of what that is. It's kind of tracking your steps, tracking your activity, and then it even has this whole stand up thing. That's one area where I'll agree with you, Mike, that I was quick to turn off that workout app because I don't need it tapping me and telling me to stand up in the middle of something. But that's me. Some other people might want that.
Some people, and for anyone who wants to do any kind of quantified life stuff, then this kind of thing is going to be helpful because you can, you know, really get granular about like, okay, how many steps am I doing? How many this? I mean, I think all of us kind of try to measure certain things, but I mean, you can go overboard with it for sure.
Any other closing thoughts?
Craig, go ahead. I mean, you're the one that owns one, so.
I'll close with a couple quick thoughts, and I was just opening up my apps here and seeing. Now, see, this is interesting because I've mentioned most of my favorite apps already on this broadcast: Uber, Slack, Nike Running, Wunderlist, Passbook, which is a built-in app. But I'm looking at my watch right now, and you know, to your point earlier, Mike, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember installing that app, and it's an app that I don't see a use for on my watch, so I'll probably uninstall that. But no, I think single-purpose apps are Shine, you know, Passbook, Uber, you know, things like that, where you can, I control some of the lights in my house with Wemo. So some of those apps really shine. Just to kind of summarize what we said, you know, I think it is kind of a glimpse into the future, just like the original iPhone was. You know, this device is definitely, you know, many steps beyond the other wearables that are out there right now. It is
because you own a Pebble. I mean, so yes. I mean.
I did own the Pebble, and the Pebble was very different. And remember, that's an e-ink display, mm-hmm. So the battery life was, you know, a week or more on the Pebble. I'll go ahead and mention that. No, we haven't mentioned that on this call yet, but you know, one of the big concerns everybody had before it even came out was the battery life, and oh my gosh, it's gonna, you know, can't even make it through the day. I have not had a day yet where my watch did not make it through the day. In fact, I usually get home, and even before I go to bed, and I usually still have above 40%. On my battery, and I don't use it heavy, but I don't use it light. I'd say I'm a moderate user of it. The battery life is great for a full day. The other interesting thing about it is it charges very quickly. I would say less than 60 minutes, my watch will recharge fully. So I usually throw it on the charger actually in the morning when I'm working. I'll wear it all day, and I'll even wear it all night and use it as an alarm clock to tap me and wake me up in the morning without waking up my wife by making noise. So yeah, the battery life's not an issue for me. I think it's exciting to see where this goes. I think in a few years we'll have wearables that aren't tethered to our phones that do many other things, including communications and including even more health things that we can't imagine today. I think it's going to be an exciting time, and I think this is just the stepping stone to that.
For me, I think that the Apple Watch is probably the most carefully considered purchase of an Apple device to this point. I think the iPhone was pretty much, for a lot of people, a super, you know, excitable time, and we've got to the point where it basically kind of really took the smartphone industry to a whole new level. The iPad basically, you know, again, it kind of really sparked the tablet movement. The Apple Watch, while I think it is going to revolutionize the wearables industry, I think first off, some people aren't ready for it yet in terms of, do they need it? Secondly, will they be responsible with it, for lack of a better term? So you need to, like, luckily there are lots of articles out there. Luckily there are lots of opinion pieces. So you can say, okay, hey, is this for me? Is this not for me? From my standpoint, I would imagine at some point, I will probably get an Apple Watch, probably version 2. I would imagine that will happen just based on the nature of my work. But it's more, like I said, it's a pretty neat device, and it's not a necessity. It's a convenience thing. And you better, if you're going to pick it up, make sure, like we were saying, you mitigate those distractions and those disruptions, because they will kill your productivity. They will outweigh the benefits, the conveniences of the Apple Watch tenfold if you don't mitigate those.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the same with your phone, though. And
it's no different. I think it's just that much closer to your body. It's that much more, you know, I mean, you can't, if someone's poking you on the shoulder, you know, you're going to notice it a bit more than, you know, the phone in your pocket, especially if the phone's on silent, right? Like, this is a bit more, it can be more of a disruptive force. So just make sure, again, you control the device. Don't let the tools rule you. You rule the tools.
Right, right. Hey, good. I will say that I don't regret my purchase at all. I'm very happy with the watch, and I think that would be my sum up, is it's a great watch. And it's going to change, I think, what, just like the iPhone changed the definition of the word phone and what it means and can do. And our kids, you know, when they think of a phone, they don't think of what we think of as when we think of a phone. I think this will eventually change the definition of the word watch in terms of what it can do capability-wise. And then just to respond to that last thought there, Mike, you know, when I am working or when I'm going to sleep or something like that, I just swipe up here and I put my watch in privacy mode and nobody's tapping me.
There you go. You know, the next time we get together, guys, we should talk about the new Apple TV, which I think we'll all agree will be a productivity killer.
It was great to talk with you again. Where can people find you online?
This is Craig. My name is Craig Jarrow, and they can find me on my website at timemanagementninja.com. I've been writing there for about 5 years, so come check it out, timemanagementninja.com, just like it sounds.
Mike Vardy here, and you can find me at productivityist.com, and I am at Mike Vardy on the Twitter.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
So do you have an Apple Watch? Are you getting an Apple Watch? Are you interested in wearables at all? Why? Why not? Let's start a conversation over on beyondthetodolist.com/100. You can leave a comment on the show notes for this episode. I would love to start talking with people and see why or why not they're interested in this tool that can do or not do, can do things to you or do things for you or do things that shouldn't be done and all of that. I'm interested. I want to know. Thank Craig and thank Mike for being on the episode. Go leave your comments beyondthetodolist.com/100 and go check out Doodle at beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Start scheduling your meetings without the pain of trying to figure out when it will work for everyone. Let them tell you. Let it all line up in an Excel spreadsheet. Then you can go close that poll and notify everyone. This is the time I've chosen. It works for everyone. It's done. Thanks again for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, go let me know through iTunes. Show some love to the show. beyondthetodolist.com/iTunes. Leave a rating or a review. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast. Theorize over the TV shows Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and Under the Dome. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.